We live, we love, we serve.
Mark it up. Matthew 15, 21 through 28. And it reads from the Message Bible. Thank you, God. From there, Jesus took a trip to Tyre and Sidon. They had hardly arrived when a Canaanite woman came down from the hills and pleaded, "Mercy, Master, Son of David, my daughter is cruelly afflicted by an evil spirit." Y'all ready for this next line? Hurts my feelings just a little bit. Jesus ignored her. The disciples came and complained, "Now she's bothering us. Would you please take care of her? She's driving us crazy." Jesus refused, telling them, "I've got my hands full dealing with the lost sheep of Israel." Then the woman came back to Jesus, dropped to her knees and begged, "Master, help me." He said, y'all ready? "It's not right to take bread out of the children's mouths and throw it to the dogs." That's in quotations. She was quick. "You're right, Master, but beggar dogs do get scraps from the master's table." Jesus gave in. "Oh, woman, your faith is something else. What you want is what you get." Right then, her daughter became well. Let's read this same text in Mark 7, 24 through 30, again in the Message Bible. Mark 7, 24 through 30. And it reads, "From there, Jesus set out for the vicinity of Tyre. He entered a house where he didn't think he would be found, but he couldn't escape notice. He was barely inside when a woman who had a disturbed daughter heard where he was. She came and knelt at his feet begging for help. The woman was Greek, Syrophoenician by birth. She asked him to cure her daughter. He said, 'Stand in line and wait your turn. The children get fed first. If there's any left over, the dogs get it.' She said, 'Of course, Master, but don't dogs under the table get scraps dropped by the children?' Jesus was impressed. 'You're right. On your way. Your daughter is no longer disturbed. The demonic affliction is gone.' She went home and found her daughter relaxed on the bed, the torment gone for good." Let's pray. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. I am free. Praise the Lord. I'm free. No longer bound. And no more chains holding me. My soul is resting. It's such a blessing. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. I'm free.
Oh, hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, God, we bless your name this morning. We praise you, oh, God, for we are free. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we thank you, oh God. We thank you for this worship experience. We thank you for this sacred space, this sacred place. We thank you, oh God, for filling us with everything that we need according to your generosity, according to your grace and to your mercy. God, we thank you for resting in this place. We thank you that your anointing is present, and it is the anointing that breaks the yoke. So God, we open ourselves to you. Speak, oh God. Speak to us, oh God. Oh, speak to us, oh God, that we might hear from you on today and be forever changed in your holy name. God, I ask you to increase in me as I decrease, that your children might hear you more than they see me. And it's in your holy name that we lift this prayer and we say together, amen. Amen. I just want to read as you remain standing that Mark text starting at verse 27. He said, stand in line and wait your turn. The children get fed first. If there's any left over, the dogs get it. She said, of course, master, but don't dogs under the table get scraps dropped by the children? Jesus was impressed. You're right. And I'm going to stop there. And won't you look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I reserve the right to change my mind. Come on, look at your other neighbor and say, neighbor, I reserve the right to change my mind. Won't you give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you take your seats? I reserve the right to change my mind. So I share with you, I had the opportunity to go to Ghana last month. And when I tell you, it was just one God experience after the next, just a couple of things that happened there. One, we certainly had the opportunity to go to the Cape Coast slave castles, slave dungeons. We had an opportunity to go to the Elamina slave castles and slave dungeons. And you know, it's one thing to read about slavery and our enslaved ancestors in a book mostly written by white men. Amen. It's another thing to watch a movie like Roots, you know, by Alex Haley and those. It's another thing altogether to stand where they stood, to touch the walls that they touched, to be enclosed in the way that they were enclosed. You know, one of the most powerful things about that experience, particularly at Elamina Castle, it hurt my feelings so bad, y'all, because they kept the male enslaved, our male enslaved ancestors on one side, and the females were kept separately. But above the female dungeon was a church. Yeah, it was a Christian church. And so while they were enslaving our ancestors, they were also proselytizing our ancestors. Not because they believed that our ancestors had souls that would go to heaven, but because they wanted to teach them things like slaves, be obedient to your slave master. And so there they were proselytized. It was amazing when the tour guide was getting ready to walk us through the door of no return. You know, he said to us, on behalf of our ancestors who participated in being responsible for you all traveling across the sea, I want to extend my apology. Woo. Let me tell you, it wasn't a dry eye in the group. He said, you know, back then we didn't know that you all would be treated the way you were treated. He said, yes, we had slavery in Africa. There was slavery in Ghana, but it was like an indentured servitude. which is also mentioned in the Bible. You owe someone a debt. You couldn't pay them. You came and you worked for them. You worked your debt off. And once your debt was worked off, you could stay in the community, be a part of the community, or go back to wherever you came from. That is what they were accustomed to. And so he said, you know, they were tricked. They were misled. He said, you know, white men have the forked tongue. They say one thing and they meant something else, you know, back then. And so he was, amen, praise the Lord. Hey. Listen, absolutely, and explain this, the process that it started with the Dutch who came in the 1500s, and then once they started coming, everybody with the Portuguese, everybody wanted a piece. And so they came, and he said, you know, they were amazed by our skin color. He said, because you know our melanin glows in the sun. Yes. I was like, wait a minute, I've never heard anybody say that. Then I started looking at all the shiny foreheads around. But it was amazing. We just learned one thing, you know, as I was listening to them talk about how Christians were proselytizing. And I'm like, well, that's our faith. You know, when we think about what they did to us, that Christianity wasn't given to us for the purpose of us being here worshiping the day, but it was given to us for the purpose of keeping us oppressed. You know, we had the opportunity to go and sit before a priest and a priestess. And as we listened to the priestess talk, she talked about how they rejected Christianity because they didn't do what they said. That they said one thing, but they were doing something else. And so they rejected that. And they continued to practice the faiths of our and the religious practice and the spiritual practices of our ancestors. And as she was talking about how, you know, they believe in oneness with the earth, that we are all a part of the earth. And they pay attention to the herbs and the shrubs and the dirt and the sun. And they're grateful for the trees that give them shade. And they're grateful for the sun that gives them light. And she's talking about all this, and I heard the word black magic. So you rejected the Christianity that was being imposed upon you through acts of slavery and indentured servitude, and because you rejected, they labeled it. Ooh, isn't that something? And now we talk or walk around talking about black magic when we have no idea what we're really talking about. They labeled it black magic. They labeled it witchcraft so that we then, generations later, would be saying the same thing. Y'all, there's so much to learn. There's so much to learn. I'm working on a trip to Ghana. Amen. We're going to be probably looking at 2026, but I feel like we all need to go back there just to stand on that ground, just to walk in those waters where they took their last bath, to hear from the African perspective what happened to us and our people. Not only did I get an apology to come and tell others and share with you, but then there was also a gratitude. We had the opportunity of meeting the first woman chief, who was an Akrapong, Chief Joyce. And she looked at us with tears in her eyes and she said, I had the opportunity to go and live in America. And I want to thank you. And I want to thank our ancestors who fought through slavery, who fought through lynchings, who fought through Jim Crow, because y'all have made it easier for us to come. I said, oh my God. So not only are you getting an apology and being asked for forgiveness, but also there's a gratitude that we fight, that we did not give up, that we kept moving forward, because now even more are able to come here and we're able to go there. The world has been opened up through a very tragic and very oppressive system. But so many opportunities. It was interesting because as I was there, so often I would hear the different languages that were spoken in, and we spent most of our time in Akrapong, and they spoke Twi there. And as I was listening to them, I began to imagine, right, the experiences that people have when they come to America, into a strange country, listening to a strange language and not being able to understand, and how sometimes we can separate ourselves by things like language barriers, and we find ourselves saying things like, well, they need to go back home. They're taking our jobs. They and them, words that separate us. They don't bring us together. It's not we and us, but it's they and them. Who is they? When the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, who is they and who is them? Because I would posit we've got to be very, very careful when we label people as they and them. Because you know what? One day we were a they. As our ancestors fought for freedom, what are they thinking about? Why don't they stay in their place? We were a they. As we fought through lynching, why are they coming and why are they trying to get jobs? We were a they. As we fought for women's rights, we were a they. As we fought for LGBTQ rights, we were a they. So be careful. Be careful who you label they and them. I like this story because Jesus ran into one of them. She was a woman. And not an Israelite woman. One text says she was a Canaanite because of the region they were in. The other says that she was a Syrophoenician woman. She was all of those things. It's like being an American, a black person, and a Harlemite. So one emphasized one. Matthew, who's writing primarily to the Jews, introduces her as a Canaanite because they would understand that Canaan was a grandson of Lot and those people that wouldn't let them pass through. Mark was really writing to a Roman audience, and so he called her Syrophoenicia because they would be more familiar as Greeks with that region. But it was still the same story. Jesus ran into one of them. He was minding his own business, going, actually looking for a reprieve, wanting to get some rest. Couldn't get rest in his hometown because people were beating the door down, trying to get to him because they knew of his power. So he thought, maybe if I go out of town, maybe if I go on the skirts, maybe if I go on the fringes, I'll be able to get a little rest. But even then, there was no rest for him. For it says, while he was sitting there, a woman came. I like these two texts because Matthew gives details. Mark wants to get to the crux of the argument. Mark didn't talk about how she came and she was wailing and asking for help and how she was getting on Jesus's nerves and getting on the disciples' nerves. That's what Matthew wants us to know. He gives us a little more details. But Mark is like, listen, they both meet at the place where she's at Jesus's feet. And I don't know. I tried to imagine what was it that was going on in her mind that gave her the courage to come to see Jesus, someone who was not of the same religion as her, someone who was not of the same faith tradition as her, someone who was not the same race as her, but yet she felt like he had something that could benefit her. I'd like to call her a mama on a mission. Because when you're on a mission, man, woman, boy, girl, friend, sister, it does not matter. Sometimes you become unstoppable when you are on a mission. And that's what we see with this woman. I wonder what she said to herself as she was walking. I don't even know if he's going to see me. I don't even know if he's going to talk to me, but I'm going anyway. I wonder if she was putting her shoes on, talking herself into going, even if he don't see, I'm still going to go. I'm still going to put these shoes on. I'm still going to put these clothes on. I'm still going to make my way down. And you know what? I don't even need to take anybody with me. I'm going by myself. I don't need no crowd. I don't need no friends lowering me through the roof. I can do this by myself. I imagine what that walk looked like. The excitement in her heart, thinking that there was possibility for her daughter who was tormented. We don't know specifically how her daughter was tormented. We don't know exactly what was going on with her. We don't know how long it lasted. We don't know when it started, but what we had was a mother on a mission who believed that Jesus had the capacity to heal her daughter. Faith was so great that she didn't even bring her daughter with her, but believed that his word would be enough to make a difference somewhere else. Oh, where is our faith this morning? This was a woman who said she can stay home. Maybe she was so disruptive she wouldn't have been able to get her to Jesus. Maybe she was thinking about what Jesus would say or what people would say as she's walking her through the streets. Maybe she was scared that the demon would come out and start acting out as she was trying to get. So she left baby girl at home, went to see Jesus, bowed at his feet and said, listen, I need your help. Have you ever been there? Where you were so desperate that it didn't matter what anybody else thought, where you were so desperate that you didn't need anybody's permission, where that you were on such a mission that you didn't need any support from anybody, but you knew that everything you needed was within you. And so you got yourself together and you went on your way, trusting that God would meet you in the middle as you went to get whatever it was that God had for you. She was on a mission. He was trying to rest. She was on a mission. He was trying to rest. She was out in public. He was there hiding. He needed a break. She needed a breakthrough. And there they met in the middle. Matthew says that the disciples had an attitude with her. She's getting and told Jesus, send her away, because apparently they couldn't do it themselves. Because sometimes when you have your mind made up, you refuse to take no for an answer. So I don't care what you say. I'm staying right here because I came for something and I'm not leaving until I get what I came from. You know, I wonder why so often they preach the text about Jacob saying to God, I'm not going to let you go till you bless me. Well, that's what she did right here. Jesus, I ain't leaving because I know you got what I need. Jesus, I'm staying right here, no matter what you say, no matter what you do, because I know you have the capacity to make a difference in the life of my daughter, and I know that's going to make a difference in my life as well. Sometimes we have to make sure that we are just as concerned for other people as we are for ourselves. This woman wasn't coming for her own healing. I'm sure she needed some help too, taking care of a daughter who was sick, but she didn't ask for anything for herself. She came seeking healing for her daughter. Sometimes if we could just put somebody else first, sometimes if we could just be a little more concerned about the other people in our lives who we know are suffering, but this Americanized Western way of thinking has us thinking that it's just me, myself, and I, that we have the audacity to call somebody a they, knowing that our ancestors and even some of us have been called a they. Jesus was clear. Listen, God bless you, woman, but you are not a part of the reason that I'm here. Whew, doesn't that sting? You are a foreigner, you are Greek, you are not of the children of Israel. I don't have any healing for you. I came for a specific group of people, and those are the children of Israel, and that's who my power and that's who my presence is for. You need to go on your, and it wasn't even, he didn't even say no. What did he say? Stand in line. Wait your turn. The children get fed first. Huh. If there's any left over, the dogs get it. So, you know, it hurts my feelings. This is why I love Jesus so much, because Jesus is real. We try to make him perfect, but this text lets us know right now that Jesus was evolving in his humanity. He evolved, his mission shifted. And I'd like to think that it was this woman who made Jesus open his eyes and see the prejudice. Ooh, y'all don't like me talking about Jesus. Is there anybody here this morning? To see the prejudice that he held. Not only did he tell her, get in line, wait your turn, but then he called her a dog. Did y'all see this in the text? I mean, Jesus. But I like this, because if Jesus can evolve, then we can evolve. If Jesus can change Jesus's mind about how he feels about foreigners and people from outside, then maybe we can change our mind about how we feel about foreigners and people from outside. I mean, we have some nerve getting an attitude with people who are just looking to have a better life. Oh, how dare we get an attitude about someone trying to find a way to live life in dignity. And we have the audacity to call them they and them when our ancestors fought for freedom. We got to be careful. Tell your neighbor, we got to be careful. We got to be careful. Because we will blink our eyes and we will be they. All it takes is a day or two and we become them. And so let's be thoughtful. This is what happened here. This woman hears Jesus even just dismiss her completely and then call her out of her name, and she don't even get an attitude. You call me a dog. Ooh-wee. Not this woman, not her. Because she was focused. She had a mission. I don't even know if she heard. Well, yes, she heard it, because look at her response. Look how she does. I love this. She says, "Of course, master." Now, he just called her a dog, but she turns around and calls him master. I would like to think that she knows who she is. And even with Jesus calling her out of her name, she still knew who she was as a child of God. So the linguistics didn't matter to her. "Of course, master. But don't the dogs under the table get the scraps dropped by the children?" So in other words, I don't care what you call me. I know what I have access to. I don't care how you look at me. I don't care how you look down on me. I don't care how you talk about me. I don't care how you call me out of my name. I know who I am. Oh, I'm a child of the Most High God. And regardless of how you see me, God still sees me. And God has more than enough for everybody. Can you imagine? She, instead of leaning away from it, getting the attitude, she leaned right into it. Okay, I'm a dog. Can I get some scraps? Sometimes we've got to shift our perspective and realize that the fight that we're fighting is not the original fight we came in to fight. We get distracted and start fighting for something else. Oh, now, so I'm going to shift the attention off of my daughter so that I can talk about you and the name you just called me. No, I don't have time for that. My daughter's sick. She needs a healing. So yeah, I get it. I understand. And I accept your rationale. You're here for the children of Israel. Okay, I get it. You came to serve them praise. Okay, I get it. But don't you have a little bit left over? A little bit left over? Can I get just something? I like it because her persistence caused Jesus to shift his mentality about how he had been viewing people of her kind. Jesus was impressed. And he says, "You're right." Now, when you say that somebody's right, what does that really mean? Maybe it means you're right. I was wrong. I can see that. On your way. Your daughter is no longer disturbed. The demonic affliction is gone. So right then he had the capacity. And in my mind, I was like, "Jesus, you wasted all those words. You could have said that from the very beginning." But if he had said it from the very beginning, we wouldn't have gotten a glimpse of his prejudice. And this writer wants us to see that Jesus shifted his assignment because of the diligence and the faith and the perseverance of this woman. Because of this woman, he could later say in Matthew, "That which you do to the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you do it also unto me." Because she, as a dog, was certainly the least of these. Because of this woman, not only did she get access to God, but we get access to God through Jesus in a different kind of way, because we would have been them to Jesus. He was a Palestinian Jew, and we would have been outside of his familial family, outside of the Israelites. But because of the faith of this woman, she was determined. She was diligent. She refused to leave. She refused to throw in the towel. She refused to get up and walk away because she knew she was on the cusp of liberation for her daughter. And I want to encourage you all today, don't walk away too soon. You might be right now on the verge of whatever it is God has for you. Don't give up because they called you a name. Don't give up because they didn't invite you in the room. Don't give up because of the report the doctor said. Don't give up because of what the jury said. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Be persistent. Tell your neighbor, be persistent. We are people who are determined to continue to move forward in faith and fight for the things that we know are right, not only for us, but for others as well. And so Jesus told her to wait her turn, and she was like, "No, now is my turn. Now is the time. Now is the time for my breakthrough. I don't need to wait for another thing. I don't need to wait for another moment. I don't need to wait for somebody's permission. I don't need to wait for the disciples to change their mind about me. Jesus, it's me and you, and I know you see me." She rejects his rejection. You don't have to accept rejection from people. Reject their rejection by declaring who you are and whose you are. So what they told you no, there's a yes waiting. So what they told you to go, there's a come coming. So what they don't want you to be a part of their group, there are other groups. You are all that you need to be all by yourself. I like this story because it shows us the capacity of changing our minds when we're exposed to something new. Sometimes we can get so stuck in what we think we know that we miss all that God is doing all around us because we think we know. While I was in Ghana, I had the opportunity to be hosted by a Muslim man and his family. And his name was Yusuf. And one of the ladies who was on the trip with us had met him some years back and had been in business with him. And so when we got there, he was glad they were able to connect. And I was just right there riding along, you know. It was me and another student. She was an NYTS grad. I was there. This is a trip through NYTS. So she was an NYTS grad, graduated this past May. And so she introduced us to Yusuf, and Yusuf was driving us around and showing us different places. And I was just astonished by his hospitality. Now, I've come in contact with many of our Muslim brothers and sisters, especially when we have programs of interreligious dialogue and we're trying to bring groups together and trying to do away with all of the biases that we have. But I had never been hosted by someone who was Muslim. When we got to Kumasi, he picked us up from the airport. It was just the four of us. The rest of the group drove, but we flew. Amen. 4-hour drive. Amen. You know my back. Y'all know I had that back surgery in 2018. So he picked us up. Y'all are something else. And immediately took us to his home. And we got to his home. I was like, oh, Lord, we're going to a Muslim man's. I've never had that occasion before. So we got there. His wife comes out. They have two children. Beautiful. They fixed us breakfast. We had, man, that was the best bread. Lord, have mercy. That's good bread over there. But bread, we had omelets. We had oatmeal, coffee and tea. And it was just beautiful. We sat there. We ate. And then from there, he began to take us around, driving a different place. We pulled up at a gas station. I'm going in to get some money, you know, to give some gas. At least I can give some gas. He even fed us, driving us around before I could even get the money out. No. I said, what is going on? We would go get something to eat. Getting ready to pull out money. No, I got it. I'm like, what is going on? He says, well, according to the Quran, the Holy Quran, we have the responsibility of hosting guests and foreigners. And we are called to treat them like family for 3 up to 5 days. And so he was following the hospitality required by his holy book. And that hospitality included hosting Christian women who were American, so we were a different faith. We were a different nationality being there in America and him being there in Ghana and Kumasi in Africa. But yet I felt like family. It was just one blessing after we prayed together, y'all. We held hands and prayed. Sometimes I prayed, sometimes he prayed, sometimes someone else prayed. But we prayed together, we ate together, we had a good time together, we enjoyed, we laughed together, we cried together, but we did it all together. There was no them and there was no they. It was all we, it was all us. I said, you know, there are some Christians that I know who would not have extended that kind of hospitality just because he was a Muslim. I need us to stretch our minds right now, because what I see in this text with Jesus healing this woman's daughter is that ultimately when we get behind all the labels, When we get beyond race and when we get beyond gender and we get beyond class and we get beyond nationalities, we are all children of God, ultimately breathing the same breath, living in the same atmosphere, working on the same goals of love and justice and peace and joy. Let us be thoughtful about who we call them. Let me tell you, I'm grateful that before I went there and ever had that experience, I came to recognize that the Christianity that I was taught as a little girl, that told me if you don't believe in Jesus, you are going to hell, was the Christianity of those who would want to be practice Christian superiority. How can we think that the God of the universe, and we just one planet, that there is only one way to get to this great God? We've got to be willing to examine our prejudices and understand that God is bigger than any definition we can put on God. God is bigger than any label that we can give to God. God is big enough to love all of us in our differences. It's what makes us so amazing. The same way that God would create the rose and the tulip and the sunflower, a variety of flowers. It's the same way that God would create the oak tree and the mulberry tree, that God would create us to look different so that we could see the beauty of humanity. And we take that beauty and we decorate. Let us be thoughtful about how we label them and they. And let us reserve the right to change our mind. Sometimes when you change your mind, you don't even fully understand what it is, how it is, or what you're doing. But man, when my Muslim brother prayed for me, and my husband, and my family, and this church, I know God heard that prayer, because God searches the heart. So let us recognize that we as humans who are only using less than 20% of our brains, because we hadn't figured out how to use the other 80%. Let us, even in understanding that, understand there are some things I may not know. There are some places I may not go. But I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel God deep within. Yes! God is real in America. And yes, God is real in Africa. And yes, God is real in Australia. And yes, God is real in Europe. Yes, God is real. Not by our borders that we drew on the earth that God gave us. Not by the barriers that we created. But God is real. Because that breath that flows in us is the Ruah of God. And God didn't give that breath to just Christians or even just Muslims. We all got it. Come on, look at your neighbor and say, we all got it. Because we all got it, that means we're all connected. Let us be thoughtful and let us be open and let us reserve the right just to think that we don't have to accept everything that we believe just because we believed it for 20 years. It could be wrong. Jesus had no problem admitting to this woman as she sat at his feet, "You're right. Let it be done unto you according to what you said." What is it that you imagine God doing for you? What is it that you imagine you doing for others? Let's expand. And recognize that God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. God's ways are higher than our ways. And it just might be that we don't know everything. So let's appreciate what we think we know and remain open to change. Amen. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise as you stand up all over the building. Telling your neighbor, be open. Be open. Be open. And just right where you are, we're going to pray today for God to show us ourselves. You know, this is nothing we got to be ashamed. We've all been a little prejudiced. Amen. In one way or another. But Jesus shows us we don't have to stay that way. We don't have to stay that way. Let's pray. God, we thank you. God, we bless you. God, we're grateful. Grateful, oh God, for stretching us on today. Grateful, oh God, for showing us ourselves on today. Grateful, oh God, that we don't have to stay the same in Jesus' name. Grateful, oh God, that Jesus saw this woman and responded by giving her just what she asked. Oh God, we can imagine her walking home to see her daughter laying on the bed with the demon gone. And we thank you, oh God, that Jesus stretched that day. And because he stretched, the kingdom was expanded. And because the kingdom was expanded, we now have access. Thank you, oh God, that as we've been given access, we don't try to deny anyone else access. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to possibility. We love you, God. We thank you. And we lift this prayer in your holy name as we say it together, amen, amen, amen. Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise on today.
We live, we love, we serve.